This is Kath and Jay Hood. Follow on Instagram at Kath Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Jesse Rogers, our friend, our baseball insider on both sides of town, is fueled by the Pride Stores. Not your typical convenience store. Check out one of their 15 Chicagoland locations today. So, Jesse, I'm going to get an Uber, and we're going to go partying tonight, huh?
We are. If it all works out, I'm going to introduce you to one Joe West.
I've actually interviewed him, so I've met him, but I've never partied with Joe.
Yeah, this guy, and I know Jay Hood, I heard you earlier, and Sylvie ranted yesterday. Let me just tell you something. Been doing this, 25 years, being around athletes and stuff.
Yes.
This guy has me torn more than anybody. Like you're not supposed to let your personal beliefs get in the way of reporting and stuff, and I never have with players, right? I mean, Tommy Listell went home when he should have gone to the minors, and I was critical of that. And, you know, I've been able to separate. But I will tell you, it is difficult, the most difficult with this guy. He has the public persona on the field, and I know fans don't like him, but he is gregarious. He is engaging.
He is
fun to be around. Joe West, I'm talking about. So I'm telling you, Cap, you're going to like him. You're going to like him a lot. And I know that doesn't take away from the negatives, but here's the thing, Jay Hood. Everybody in the game respects this guy, even if they've had run-ins with him. Now, I didn't see the pre- or post-game with Ozzie last night, so maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's not everybody because he's had some run-ins with Ozzie. But the majority of people – David Ross told a story on Zoom yesterday, real quick here. The first time he saw Joe West, he went up there and said, you know, have a good one, like have a good game. He said, have a good one. And West said to him, you know where that phrase comes from? That's back in the day when they had outhouses in the Old West, and somebody would go out to the outhouse. You'd say to him, "Have a good one. Have a good one." So every game since then, David Ross will go out to home plate and say, "Have a good one, Joe. Have a good one, Joe." He has all sorts of those moments with players and managers that fans don't see. And frankly, last thing, I don't mind that he draws some attention to him. Like, he kicked out Mike Rizzo from the upper deck. Cap, I know you love stories. That's a great story to tell, right?
It is.
So I'm torn because I know how fans
think of him. But he just rolled his eyes and looked at me like, really? You're better than that.
Right. I mean, I know how fans think of him and maybe some in the game. But I also know the man. And I've never been so torn by a person. Truth be told here, I am hosting Buster Olney's Baseball Tonight podcast today. Very excited.
Yes.
And Joe West is going to be a guest of mine. So I'm going to ask him about that sort of dual reputation he has.
Jesse Rogers joining us here on Monday Night Baseball here on ESPN 1000.
Wow.
Jesse.
You're unbelievable.
Well, Jesse had the best story and then never mind. I just... The White Sox against the Cardinals yesterday, Jess, I want to get your thoughts about how the Sox performed. And Giolito, I really think he stepped into his own. That's the Giolito that we've been wanting to see on a regular basis.
Well, let me tell you something. For my money, it's one of the best wins, if not the best in the league. Number one, they beat an elite right-handed starter. They weren't able to do that Saturday against Gerrit Cole. Flaherty's as good as it gets. 8-0 coming in. Now, the Cardinals made mistakes behind him, no doubt, and they took advantage. So it wasn't like they did it on their own. But he gave up 8 hits and walks in 3 2/3 innings, 6 hits, a couple walks. So they took advantage of the mistakes. That's number one. Number two, what you just said about Giolito. He said after the game, games like this would have maybe distracted him, meaning the Joe West stuff, the whole facing his high school teammate thing. Like, there was a lot of hoopla surrounding this game. I mean, he joked about warming up in the 6th with the San Diego Chicken doing a little bit with Joe West, and he didn't want to hit the chicken as he's warming up. You talk about a distraction. That whole night could have been one for Giolito. It certainly seemed like it may have been for the Cardinals with the way they played, wow. And Giolito locked it down. So I'm with you, Jay Hood. There are now moments that he can enjoy, like facing his high school teammate, but then go out and do his job, and he certainly did it better than Jack Flaherty. And I just thought from start to finish, this is one of the better wins of the year.
Yeah, and I was there Monday when Lance Lynn was a little shaky with command, but the stuff was really good. I mean, when he had to, he ran it up there at 97, and this guy said that was the, Hoodie, correct me if I'm wrong, the most important win or the most memorable win of his career.
Correct.
To beat the Cardinals in that setting at Guaranteed Rate. So this White Sox team gets swept in New York. They could have won two of the three games. The only game they got crushed, it's Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole's the highest paid pitcher in the game, and he's amazing. Okay, that aside, they have now taken the first two of this series against the Cardinals. So how good is this White Sox team? As injured as they are, the controversies all around the team. I watched them yesterday when I came home from my game. They're hugging Tony as they come off the field. They're tapping him on the chest. Like, that team looks connected to me.
Yes, I don't disagree. And when you don't lose consecutive games for a month, there's something there. There's some chemistry there. And I think Tim Anderson, you know, summed it all up with that little joke over the weekend about Tony. Like, sometimes we don't understand there's a gray area. There's an in-between of full-on mutiny and we love this guy. Like, and he said it. Like, he's the dad. We're the bad kids. Sometimes we rebel. But ultimately, as we know, as we all three of us know, you have to respect your dad, right? Or you're going to be in trouble. And I think that's the situation. There's going to be some moments where the connection isn't quite there. But ultimately, I think Tony's done a good job in keeping it together down there, even though it looks bad at times. Coming off that weekend series, Jay Hood, we talked Monday. I didn't think there was like anything devastating about this team because you said it, Cap. Two ninth-inning losses. One aided by a triple play. That wasn't an issue. They weren't like falling apart after this weekend. But you say, you know, what do you make of this team? First of all, they have the ERA leader in Lance Lynn. Used to be Rodon, now it's Lance Lynn. And they have the leading batting champion if the season ended today, still your main Mercedes. I mean, there's so many good individual things going on that collectively it's working. But I think you guys would agree. More competition outside the division, better competition outside the division will be good tests for this team moving forward. The Cardinals, not a great team, but they are a first-place team. They've already won the series. Keep playing these teams outside the division because the division will fool us a little bit. We know it's not very good. Even Cleveland at second place, not very good. So the Sox are good. We just don't know if they're World Series good just yet.
Watching the Cubs yesterday too, Jesse. The Cubs went 4-3, so the Sox are helping the Cubs, but the Cubs are helping the Cubs as well with that win against the Pirates. I'm very concerned though about what happened to Nico Hoerner, and also we find out that Duffy's out with the low back strain. So how does that affect the Cubs? Because every time I see Nico Hoerner when he gets a chance to play, he's a spark plug.
Yeah, I asked Jake Arrieta after the game about Nico. I mean, what I said to him was, look, if Javi goes down or KB goes down, we automatically know what that loss is, right? Or the league would know. But I think Nico Hoerner is in that category, certainly in a different way. Not the slugger, but he's playing gold glove second base. He's hitting .330. How is that not a huge loss? Now, we don't have an update yet, but it certainly looks like an injured list stint. Let's start with that. At least 10, maybe 2 weeks, maybe longer. Hamstring, you know how that goes with hamstrings. That could be a while. So it's a huge loss, not just a small one. I think it's a huge loss. Duffy's already a huge loss. You know, I don't know how they overcome this in general. I mean, they've played the Pirates now 11 times, so they're starting to come to the end of the Pirates run here. And they're going to stay in the race. We know that. I just don't know if all of this is sustainable to October, and that's without even talking about the July trade deadline. But the one thing I will say is, They are playing on offense the way we wanted them to play for 3 years now, and they are doing it basically night in and night out. It's no longer 10-run, 1-run, 10-run. It is consistent. Will it stay that way without Duffy and Hoerner for a while? I don't know, because those two guys are key cogs in that whole consistency thing. So, Jay Hood, it's a big loss, but I can't get a read completely on this team because I don't know about this starting rotation. It really has been up and down, but they're a good team. Again, almost like the White Sox, are they a great team? Sox are better for sure, and likely in October, an October team. I don't know if we could say that about the Cubs.
Jesse, do you believe, I was at my game last night, some of the guys said, do you think Jed Hoyer gets in his car after the game or watching from his home and goes, son of a, come on, I got to blow this thing up and you guys keep winning. Do you think there's any of that going on in the executive suites?
That's a good question. Yes. Now, it's not like a daily thing with him. He's not like mad they're winning. But the day he signed Joc Pederson was the day he told everybody, okay, we're not going to be that bad. Like, it went from trading you Darvish, definitely a transition year. Okay, let's sign this slugger who might hit 30, you know? And he's, Joc Pederson's as hot as anyone. It's weird. I wrote the story on March 3rd that they were on a collision course with a white flag situation, meaning they're going to be in the race come late July, and he's going to have to probably make some trades. Now, I think it could end up being a partial sell-off, meaning you sell a little bit, but you still compete. For example, you might sell Craig Kimbrell, which I think they will, but you keep Chris Bryant. Now, I actually think it'd be a mistake to keep anybody that can't get you a bunch of prospects back or even major league players. But if he's in first or near first, I mean, it'd be a terrible thing to do to the fans, right? We all know that. But I think he could still do a partial sell. So it's weird, Cap. He really is going to be stressed come July. Maybe the standings will change. I just don't know if this young bullpen can keep doing what it's doing. I love Keegan Thompson, but at some point there'll be a wall for these young guys. The good news is that he still has 2 months to figure this out. That's a long time.
All right, Jesse, get the drinks flowing. I'll see you tonight.
I'll see you tonight. Be well, guys.
Hey, Jesse, can you drive me?
I think I might take the train for the same reason.
All right, let's talk. Maybe we'll get a car service together.
Because when you get to a station happy hour in Joe West, you probably don't want to be driving.
No, definitely not.
All right, talk to you later.
All right, see ya. There he is, Jesse Rogers, brought to you by the Pride Stores, 15 Chicago area locations.
I know a guy, Limo Bill, will be glad to take care of you guys. He'd be glad to come right over.
He drove me to Cleveland for game 6 and 7.
My back was bad. Limo Bill was there.
He's the best.
Yeah, so if you need him, I got his number.
Like Jay Cutler or hate him. You can't argue that he's great with Waddle and Sylvie, and he was great yesterday. How does he think the Bears should handle Justin Fields? You're going to love this. Next.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
So, yesterday afternoon, I'm in the car. I got to hang out a little bit with Michael Strahan. Was doing an event for GMA at Malnati. So my wife knows I got this man crush on Michael Strahan.
Sure.
Went down there and he was cooking pizzas with Mark Malnati. I get in the car and Waddle and Sylvie have Danny's guy, Jay Cutler.
Sure.
On the show. I got to be honest. You know I'm not a Cutler guy. That was wildly entertaining.
Of course it was, because Jay does not mind speaking his mind. He is not in the media. He's just a citizen watching football like the rest of us and has an opinion.
But he was in a good mood. He was, like, one of the things I don't like about him is that he's this moody guy. But Jay is, he was really locked in, having fun yesterday. And those two guys, give them all the credit in the world, have developed an excellent relationship with him. And once he left the Bears, they have continued said relationship. So that's a credit to those guys. And he talked about a number of things. And the question came up, of course, about Sylvie being all in on Justin Fields.
We're all in on Justin Fields. We're very excited. Why?
Yeah, why are you in on him?
Because I think he's got every measurable imaginable.
Do you ever qualify that with by saying I don't know what I'm talking about though either?
Yes, all the time. That I am not a. Neither does Ryan Pace, but we're going with it this time.
Yeah.
I'm like. So what do you see then? I mean, you know what you're talking about. What do you see?
Yeah, I haven't watched the kid enough. I think he's obviously talented. You know, he can move. He can throw. He won a lot at Ohio State. He seems to be have a little chip on his shoulder, which I don't think is a bad thing, you know. But like we've talked about numerous times, playing quarterback, you know, there's a lot of moving parts, and so you know they've got to get the line, they got to get him some weapons. You know, I know you guys are go back and forth on the coach, but I really like the coach, so that's never been an issue in my mind. I think he's going to put together good plans, but like I wouldn't play the kid to start. Like, okay. That's what I would. That's where I would start. I would let him watch. And, you know, I think it's just a tough spot to put, you know, someone out there, especially in Chicago. And, you know, I think Andy is more than serviceable. I think they can win games with Andy and kind of float the ship along until the kid's ready.
When you look back at your time in Denver, we were looking at it. I think you played 5 games. Was that because of injury to Jake Plummer, or do I got that wrong?
Yes, no. I mean, I think, you know, he was getting banged up a little bit, but I think Mike had just seen enough and thought it was time and thought it was, you know, my time to kind of go out there. And I don't think he wanted to sit me the whole year. But, you know, you have to ask Mike. I never really asked Mike why he pulled the trigger then. But I remember the first game. I was like, because, you know, there was rumblings that I might play and all this stuff. And I'm like, well, I have no idea what's happening here. Like, let's figure this thing out for a minute. And we were in St. Louis, in the old dome in St. Louis. And it was, I mean, it was insanely loud. And I was like, and we had a million checks that game. I mean, we were checking everything. And none of it worked. We got beat down that game. But I was like, if I go in this game, they better dial this back to day one or I'm screwed.
That, when you look back at your time, do you think that it benefited you to not play from the very beginning? Or do you think you were equipped to play from day one? How do you feel like your experience?
I mean, I think I was equipped to play. You know, I just didn't. I mean, practicing that week, you know, Jake took all the reps. And that's just kind of how it goes as a starter. So I didn't feel equipped to play week one just because, you know, mentally I wasn't taking the reps. I mean, I was, you know, it's different for me. Like, I need the reps. I need to see it. So I didn't take the reps, so like I wasn't ready to play. But I also think it benefited me tremendously of watching it, seeing the ups and downs, see us lose games, see us win games. And Jake was a consummate pro. He was fabulous with me. And, you know, just seeing how he handled, you know, the life as an NFL quarterback those first 10, 12 weeks, whatever it was insanely valuable for me. And then, you know, whenever I stepped in, he supported the hell out of me and, you know, helped me and answered questions and was there. So, you know, everyone's different. You know, I've always just been on the side of what's 10 games. Like, what's a season, you know, in the grand scheme of this kid's career. If you believe he's the guy, then, you know, get everything set up so when he's in there, he's supported and he can make things happen the way he should instead of battling through all this stuff and seeing ghosts 5 years from now or 3 years from now.
So what happens, though, if he is even better than you thought he was when you drafted him? He has a great camp and you deem him, quote, ready. You would even put a governor on him then?
No one knows if he's ready or not. I mean, this is preseason and training camp and all this stuff. I mean, there's nobody out there that, you know, you can sit in there and look at and be like, all right. I mean, look at Peyton Manning. I mean, doesn't he have the rookie record for interceptions?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he went out there and did it, but it wasn't pretty. Obviously he figured it out quickly, but, as a quarterback position, especially the first round, especially in a team that has struggled a little bit, I think you're going to be hard to say, all right, he's 100% ready. We're good to go with him. But, I mean, I hope I'm wrong. I mean, you know, if they go out there and play him and he lights it up, I'm going to be thrilled for him.
What would you tell him about the pressure, Jay? Because when you were traded, that's how we started the relationship with you. We wished everyone a happy Jay Cutler day. Like, we were partying when the Bears landed you off your Pro Bowl season. You know about the pressure in this town. What advice would you give Justin Fields?
You know, he came from Ohio State. He's played in big games before, so I don't think he's going to he's going to mind it much, but I will say this, that, you know, this isn't Ohio State. This isn't college football. You know, the playing field gets leveled really quickly in the NFL. So you're going to get humbled. Bad things are going to happen. You know, you just have to deal with it. You have to go back and look at the film and you have to say, hey, my bad. And, you know, you just kind of want to limit your mistakes as you get older and as you see things, and hopefully the organization builds around them and gives them a chance to win.
Is that the biggest adjustment you found, is having to deal with maybe quote-unquote failures, something that you didn't have to deal with in college?
Well, I think that's a big thing for a lot of these quarterbacks coming out. I mean, I went to Vandy, so like always failures for the most part. But a lot of these kids, you know, they're coming out and You know, they've never lost a game. They've thrown two picks or, you know, whatever right. it was. And, you know, you're going to get an NFL and you're going to get picked off. You know, you're going to get sacked. You're going to make a wrong read. You're going to get outsmarted by a, you know, a 10-year veteran somehow. Someone's going to bait you into the throw. Like, all these things are going to happen.
Right.
You're going to get some bad calls off the sideline. And, you know, you're going to be like, well, that didn't work. I mean, all these things are going to happen. And you know, and some of these things are going to be out of your control. Like, they're just going to happen.
Right.
And, you know, that's kind of the mental toughness of being able to control what you can control and keep working.
So, again, credit to Waddle and Sylvie. They've developed this amazing relationship with Jay. And full disclosure, that was a paid appearance, not paid by us. That was promoting his meat company.
Sure.
So you're not going to come on and be fast asleep or not engaged when you're trying to sell meat. Cuts. And let me just pull the curtain back even farther.
Okay, you don't have to rip Cutler like that.
I'm not ripping him. I'm being honest.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. He was he's always compelling on Waddle and Sylvie. That's why he put him on. Otherwise, he wouldn't be on.
I gave those guys their props. They're very good at developing a relationship with a guy who simply had no interest in being the face of the franchise. Like,
yeah.
Well, let's not relitigate the Jay Cutler era. Like, let's talk about what he said, though. That was
interesting
stuff.
We'll get to that. There are other people that feel like your wife feels who just texted you. What did she say?
Eye roll, Cutler sucked. What does he know? She could say that. It's her birthday. It's all right.
Hey, happy birthday, Michelle.
Yeah, it's okay for her to say that. Otherwise, no.
Okay, now that all of that's to the side, yes. We can talk about what he said. And I think he's right. Like, the average person in this town, they're not going to give Tony La Russa any credit if he does anything good, but if something's bad, they're going to blow it up into this huge bowl of popcorn.
Yeah, you know what that is? That's called perspective and also holding the team's feet to the fire.
No.
That's what happens in a big market.
No, it's also called overreacting one way and not giving credit the other.
No.
And it's the same thing.
That's not for everybody.
When they sign Andy Dalton,
no.
It's Andy Dalton. He's horrible. He's actually not horrible. He's a decent, solid, journeyman quarterback. And as Jay said, I think you can win football games with Andy Dalton.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Again, the world is not black and white like you see it in your world. There's also shades of gray. When you are a Chicago sports fan, you have every right to have a critical eye on your team. It's not, oh, we win, and oh, boo, we lose. There's always a middle ground.
Agreed.
You have to, but you can't say, well, no one's going to give Tony La Russa credit if the team wins. Well, there's a lot of people that will. I mean, the chosen few is not necessarily the majority. The chosen few on social media does not speak for this show. Or for those that are diehard White Sox fans. You're gonna factor in the 1% versus the 99?
Well,
the 1% doesn't matter. How about that?
But there are people like Carmen. Carmen DeFalco, I think, is a very intelligent baseball fan.
Sometimes I am. Sometimes I'm not. I don't know. What do you look it up? What do you have, Merkin? Back after this. Golden hammock.
And he said, they'll win in spite of Tony. My friend Ryan McGuffey, who I think you know, Guff.
Yes.
Very intelligent White Sox fan. They'll win in spite of Tony. He'll be gone in a year.
He's just a guy talking.
I agree, but there is a lot that have that perspective, and it's the same thing back to Andy Dalton.
It's just guys talking. Like, I mean, McGuffey's a Sox fan, so he just fires off a few thoughts every now and then, but doesn't mean that that's who he is in his core. He's just a guy talking. Do you sit down at a bar? I know you don't do this very often anymore. Do you ever sit down at a bar or a restaurant and guys are just riffing?
Yeah.
Just talking?
Absolutely.
Just for the conversation? Come on now. McGuffey knows.
But it's the same thing with Andy Dalton. The day they signed Andy Dalton, what did everybody go? What? Andy Dalton? He stinks. Wow. He's actually, I'm not here to tell you he's Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
He is a pretty competent journeyman quarterback. Competent. I didn't say great. I didn't say an all-star. I didn't say an all-pro. Competent. And if Matt feels he can run his system better than Mitch Trubisky or Nick Foles, maybe they can win 10 football games with him. Jay seems to think so.
So the bottom line of this segment is that Cutler stepped his game because of the meat.
Pretty much.
All right, thanks.
We'll be right back.
Can we actually talk about what he said next?
We will.
All right.
morning sports itch.
This is Cap and Jay Hood, our new morning show.
On ESPN 1000 and the new ESPN Chicago app.
So Jay Cutler was on with Waddle and Sylvie, and as I said earlier to you, Hoodie, he is always very good with them. And he was very good yesterday. Whether he was slinging meat or not, he was very good. And he said,
I don't think that's what happened. He was not slinging meat.
He was on there for cuts.
I understand that, but he wasn't slinging it. He was selling it. He was telling people about it, yes.
Slinging meat.
Okay. That's a different... Go ahead.
He was slinging his meat. Quote, I wouldn't play the kid Fields to start. That's what I would do. I'd let him watch. I think it's just a tough spot to put someone out there, especially in Chicago. And I think Andy Dalton is more than serviceable. I think they can win games with Andy and kind of float the ship along until the kid is ready. He also was very, very complimentary of Matt Nagy.
Yes. And the meat, by the way, that he was selling was the Bears content. His other meat was just 2 minutes.
But the...
You heard the interview, you said,
right? I did.
Okay, well, the meat was just two of the 24 minutes.
Correct.
The meat of the interview was the Bears stuff.
But if
good stuff.
But no question. Mm-hmm. But if there was no meat, and I'm not talking about Bears content, I'm talking about cuts, there's no other stuff.
Oh, take that.
You're fighting a weird fight right now, man.
Well, I'm just being honest, man. You were sucking up that pablum on the afternoon show for all these years he was there.
I was there.
I'm just being honest.
I was there for every Cutler show, and he was frequently engaging when he was not slinging meats.
That's a credit to Waddle and Sylvie.
Yes, but what about when he
he was still engaging.
You do recall him being on Twitch, right?
Yes.
Hey, did he sling any meat there? He was fun and engaging, was he not?
Yes.
Okay, then.
Yeah, set aside your personal bias. Let's talk about his own.
I don't like him.
His own experience, though, was interesting. Where he talked about what it was like the first time he had an NFL game, non-preseason.
That's correct.
And for me as a Bears fan, that was interesting because that's been the conversation we've basically had since draft night. When you set aside the excitement, the question is, do the Bears need to start Justin Fields week one?
Okay.
Right?
And again, we played that 6 minute and 46 second chunk, which was great stuff.
The meat of the interview.
And again, he said, quote, I didn't feel equipped to play week one just because mentally I wasn't taking the reps. It's different for me. I need the reps. I need to see it. I didn't take the reps, so I wasn't ready to play. But I also think it benefited me tremendously watching, seeing the ups and downs, seeing us lose games, seeing us win games. And he told Waddle and Sylvie, Jake Plummer was a consummate pro, which Andy Dalton, by all accounts, is. Mm-hmm. As a person, as a studier of game tape and game plans. He was fabulous with me. And just seeing how he handled life as an NFL quarterback those first 10 to 12 weeks was insanely valuable for me. Whenever I stepped in, he supported the hell out of me, helped me, answered questions, and was there.
Well, I would say that the first part that we heard where Sylvie was saying, like, we're really into Justin Fields. And, of course, Jay's going to say what Jay's going to say. Like, why? Right? He said why. And the reason why is because he feels for Andy Dalton, that veteran quarterback, mm-hmm. and he feels like he can be serviceable enough to help the Bears. All I will tell you is that I would agree to him with him to an extent. Yes, he can help the Bears, but boy, that meat of that schedule, the middle of that schedule is something for any quarterback, including Andy Dalton.
Mm-hmm.
So, but just it's just a fascinating conversation that we all have, right?
Right.
Do you throw the young quarterback in now, right?
Sink or swim, kid.
Just do whatever you're going to do. But then on the other side of that, it's like, well, what about Matt and Ryan? No matter how long they're going to be, it's like, well, you drafted him, and now he looks like that. If he underachieves, now it's a reflection of them and the quarterback.
Right.
On the other side is like, well, we take Andy Dalton because we promised Andy Dalton the starting position. It's the reason why he came to Chicago is because he wanted to start.
Correct. Because he had other offers. We found out San Francisco had made a significant financial offer to bring Andy Dalton in. But mm-hmm. they couldn't guarantee him. They said, you can compete with Garoppolo. This is pre-Trey Lance. Pre the trade up three number ones to go from wherever they were, 12 all the way up to 3.
Bears thought he could start. I think they're going to allow Andy to start.
I would agree with
this. This is a Trubisky-Foles scenario where it's like when we were going doing this back and forth, and I said, Cap, Trubisky's going to start. Stop it. Trubisky's going to have every opportunity to succeed or fail. And you saw what happened. As soon as Matt wanted to pull the trigger against Atlanta, he did and brought Foles in. But Trubisky was always going to be the guy. And I think in this situation, I can call it now on May 26th that I kind of think that Dalton will be the starter initially.
But if you were the Jonathan Hood of Seattle Sports Radio, I don't know, 10 years ago,
yes,
when they signed Matt Flynn for $37 million, you would have said, I can call it right now on May, whatever we are, and Matt Flynn's going to be the starter, and we got this third-round kid we just drafted. And all of a sudden, 4 weeks into training camp, the story I read, Pete Carroll got his group together and goes, we have to play that kid.
Right.
We're better with him. Sorry, Matt, we'll pay your money, but sorry, dude, you're not playing. Last year, the Bengals knew they were going to stink. We're playing Joe Burrow. And you could say Joe Burrow went 1 and Justin Fields went 11, but guess what? What did the NFL Network say? 8 of the 16 personnel directors they talked to had Justin Fields ahead of Trevor Lawrence, which means he could have been the number one pick in the draft if 8 different teams were picking 1.
I would agree with that as well. I'm glad that they were able to do that. I still would have Lawrence ahead of Justin Fields in college, but in the pros, we'll see what happens. But here's the thing I like about both guys. They both had tremendous spotlight games in college. You see the leadership, right? I said that about Deshaun Watson, the same thing. Like, the reason why I like Deshaun, despite the injury he had at that time, that look at the leadership. Look at the cannon of an arm. Look at the ability to get down the field.
Against Alabama multiple times on the national stage.
Oh, like, that's what you like, right? Instead of the project of saying, you know, the Jets quarterback could be good because he's from BYU. Now, you want the guys in the big stage, Miller.
Here's my question. Do you guys think Justin Fields can be broken if he starts in week one?
No.
Broken as in,
can they break him as a player?
Wait.
Can the Bears break him?
Hold on.
My answer
break
is no.
Him and then build him back up, or you ruin his career? There's a different level of being broken here.
Will they break him if they start him in week one? Can things go poorly?
Irreparable harm.
If they put him in week one as the starter because he shows you.
And he sees Sam Darnold's ghosts?
Exactly. Because here's the thing. Jay had his own personal experience, which I thought was very interesting to hear him describe and talk about how it was better for him, he believed. And I completely agree with the assessment. Nobody knows. Nobody knows what the NFL is until they actually get out there and have a roaring crowd going crazy, you know, on the road or even at home. It's a huge different environment. The one thing you can say, though, is that Justin Fields, actually having been at Ohio State at the Horseshoe, has probably had about as close an experience as you can actually have as a college football player, right?
Correct.
If he is good enough and he shows you the skills that we all expect him to have, which will be one day better than what Andy Dalton can do. The physical traits are undeniable, right? Can they break him if they start him in week one? Because the other thing that Jay Cutler said that I found interesting was that, look, Peyton Manning started in week one. And you know what? He set the all-time rookie record for interceptions, right?
Yeah.
Was he broken?
He was not.
No.
He was one of the best quarterbacks ever.
Okay.
And so that's the thing is we like to straddle the line of can you live in this parallel universe where you'll break a quarterback if you start in week one, but if you hold him back 4 or 5 weeks and then you let him play, he'll go on to greatness. Or would he have always gone on to greatness?
If he can be broken, then he's not the guy they thought they drafted.
You're not breaking Justin Fields.
Here, let me read you one quote, and I have a question for you I want you to mull over. Everyone is different. This is Jay. I've always just been on the side of what's 10 games, what's the season, in the grand scheme of this kid's career. If you believe he's the guy to get everything set up so when he's in there, he's supported and he can make things happen the way he should instead of battling through all this stuff and seeing ghosts 5 years from now.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Well, let's talk about it.
Okay, my other question to you is, when he left Georgia, Jake Fromm was the choice.
Yeah.
Whether it was the right choice, the wrong choice, Georgia had a lot of success.
Yes.
Jake Fromm's never going to be the guy that Justin Fields is. Did Justin Fields have to go through a battle at Ohio State to prove himself transferring like he is now with Andy Dalton? Mull on that. We'll get to your calls. Would starting Fields in week one hurt the quarterback's future if he isn't ready? 312-332-3776. Take that.
That was good, Jeff. Why don't you wait until 10:30 for that?
It's Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports. Follow the show on Twitter at Cap. Cap J Hood. This is ESPN 1000.
So when hurting Justin Fields in week one hurt the young quarterback's future if he isn't ready. What do you think out there? Because we've had more than our share of calls since draft night. You got to start the kid. And the day Andy Dalton signed, when Danny came out and said, Bears have signed Andy Dalton, 1 year, $10 million. Everyone's like, he stinks. He actually doesn't stink. He's okay. He's solid. And he's a better fit, apparently, according to Matt, for the offense.
It's mighty big of you to use Cutler's words to form your opinion, by the way. For someone you don't like in Jay, you actually agree with Jay. That's a first.
Doesn't mean.
Got me.
Stevie!
Exactly.
0-1 the count on Kaplan.
Yeah, it wasn't me pitching.
So what? No, address that. Don't go over there. Don't go over the rainbow with another thought. Come back to this one.
Okay, so I'll go back to where I've been the whole time. Yeah. I haven't flipped at all. If he's in camp and you watch the offense and you're Matt and DeFilippo and Laser and all these guys, and you go, the offense is light years better when the kid's in there.
Yeah.
Then play him.
Sure.
If you look at it and go, our best chance to win against the Rams on Sunday Night Football is that kid, markedly, play him. But if you look and go, right now I think the offense clicks a little better with Andy and Justin's coming way faster than we thought, but I don't think he gives us the best chance to win on Sunday Night Football, then start the veteran. I'm with Jay there.
Oh, boy. That's mighty big of you, though. Boy, you've really turned the corner on Jay Cutler. And it is what I've always told you. Everything is not at black and white. I can't stand Jay. Well, Jay can't hurt us anymore. You come out of the corner. It's okay. He can't hurt us anymore. Now he just has opinions. He's not even in the media.
Right.
He's just selling meat. So now you can look at Jay Cutler and say, hey, I didn't like him as Bears quarterback, but boy, he makes a very valid point. Give him his due. Give him his flowers.
I give him his props. He made some very interesting points from a position that he told Waddle and Sylvie, I've been in. Ironically, they're both the 11th pick in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know. Jay got into a spat with his head coach at the time, Josh McDaniels, after Shanahan left. I don't envision that happening with Justin. They seem to be two different kinds of personalities. Mm-hmm. But if Jay feels like, guys, I think Sylvie asked him something about playing in the preseason. What about if the preseason? You learn nothing in the preseason.
That is true.
So
I believe that is true. It's really about training camp. It's about training camp and then getting into live rounds, live action in the regular season. That's where you learn. You get your lumps there, too. You learn a lot there from the speed of the game. I don't think that's going to overwhelm Justin Fields. I don't believe that.
I don't either.
But enough of him to know.
Okay, so I asked you a question going to break. When he transferred from Georgia, where he couldn't beat out Jake Fromm, for whatever reason.
Well, the reason is Kirby Smart, but go ahead.
Kirby Smart, the head coach, said, my team's better with Jake Fromm. And what'd they go that year? To the SEC title game or... They were playing on the
championship, yeah.
They may have gone to the championship game.
Yeah.
So you can't argue that Kirby Smart knew his football team. When he went then to Ohio State as a transfer student, he wasn't handed the quarterback job. He had to win the quarterback job. Is his move from Georgia to Ohio State at all similar to Ohio State to the Bears?
You know what? Is his move from Ohio State to the Bears, is it... Yeah, it's a big leap as far as being stepping up in class, that is for sure. But I don't think that he's going to be overwhelmed by looking in that quarterback room and say, there's a Super Bowl champion, Nick Foles, and there's Andy Dalton on the other side. I just think his bravado will tell him. Like, even at Georgia, he knew it was better than Jake Fromm. But that was up to the head coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a step up in class as far as the type of football he's going to play. But he sees these other two and he's like, I know I'm going to be the guy. If not today, soon. He sees it. Everybody knows.
Well, you'd have to be a blind man not to know, because Andy Dalton's on a one-year deal. Nick Foles has seen his shot, and he's done, unless, God forbid, horrific injury hits the position. But maybe Jay's right. Maybe, look, Jay speaks in a very intelligent, well-thought-out man of experience that I don't care if he has a good training camp, Sylvie. That's what he said. You don't learn anything about the guy in training camp or in preseason games. When you get into an NFL game, it's faster, it's louder, it's different.
Well, I tell you what, that's growth right there, just in 1.5 hour. That's growth. Hey, pal, you've never said that many good things about Jay Cutler in one segment in years, if ever. Maybe when he first got to the Bears on your TV show, but never like that. I mean, hey, that shows growth.
How about that?
How about that? I mean, that's outstanding.
Do we, because we mentioned cuts, are they going to send some boxes of meat around this place?
That's your angle. That's your angle. He's a good guy. By the way, Tom,
I get some free meat?
Waddle got it.
Yeah.
I was texted. Waddle got one.
I'll bet he did.
You? No.
No shot.
Because he knows.
Yeah.
You've been on his ass too long.
Hey, any of that stuff that's spoiled, send it to Kaplan. 312-332-3776.
You're my guy now, Jay. How about some meat?
Keyshawn Johnson on how he would handle the Bears quarterback situation. Jay. And it's really intriguing and interesting.
Oh, God. They treated you unfair up there.
In 2 minutes.
That's your fault. Bad old line. Jesus Christ. What are you going to do?
How about some meat, pal? Take that.